of Warlord of Quor by Terry Carr. Chapter 1. Lee Rynison sat forward on the faded red stone seat, watching the stylus of the interpreter as the massive gray being in front of him spoke, its dry, leathery mouth slowly and stumblingly forming the words of a spoken language its race had not used for over 30,000 years. The stylus made no sound in the thin air of Herlage as it passed over the plasticine notepaper. The only sounds in the ancient building were those of the alien's surprisingly high and thin voice, coming at intervals, and Rynison's own slightly labored breathing. He did not listen to the alien's voice. By now he had heard it often enough so that it was merely irritating in its thin dryness, like old parchments being rubbed together. He watched the stylus as it jumped along sporadically.
"Tebron Marl was our priest, king, hero. Not priest, but one who knew. That is priest."
Rynison was a slender, sandy-haired man in his late 20s. A sharp scar from a knife cut left a line across his forehead over his right eyebrow. His eyes, perhaps brown, perhaps green, the light on Herlage was sometimes deceptive, were soft, but narrowed with an intent alertness. He raised the interpreter's mic and said, "How long ago?" The stylus recorded the Earthman's question, too, but Rynison did not watch it. He looked up at the bulk of the alien, watching for the slow closing of its eyes, so slow that it could not be called a blink, that would show it had understood the question. The interpreter could feed the question direct to the telepathic alien, but there was no guarantee that it would be understood. The eyes, resting steadily on him, closed and opened, and in a few moments came the Herlage's dry voice.
"The great age was in the 18th generation past, 7,000 years ago."
Rynison calculated quickly. Translating that to about 8,200 Earth standard years and subtracting, that would make it about the 17th century. About the time of the Restoration in England, when the western hemisphere of Earth was still being colonized. 18 generations ago on Herlage. He read the date into the mic for the stylus to record, and sat back and stretched. They were sitting amid the ruins of a vast hall, gray dust covering the stone floor all around them. Dry, hard vegetation had crept in through cracks and breaks in the walls and fallen across the dusty interior shadows of the building. Occasionally, a small, quick animal would dart from a dark wall across the floor to another shadow, its feet soundless in the dust. Above Rynison, the enormous arch of the Herlage Dome loomed darkly against the deep cerulean blue of the sky. The lines of all Herlage architecture were deceptively simple, but Rynison had already found that if he tried to follow the curves and angles, he would soon find his head swimming. There was a quality to these ancient buildings which was not quite understandable to a Terran mind, as though the old Herlage had built them on geometric principles just slightly at a tangent from those of Earth. The curve of the arch drew Rynison's eyes along its silhouette almost hypnotically. He caught himself and shook his head and turned again to the alien before him. The creature's name, as well as it could be rendered in a Terran script, was Horng. The head of the alien was dark and hairless, leathery, weathered. The light wires of the interpreter trailed down and across the floor from where they were clamped to the deep indentations of the temples. Massive bony ridges circled the shadowed eyes, set low on the head, directly above the wide mouth which always hung open while the Herlage breathed in long gulps of air. Two atrophied nostrils were situated on either side and slightly below the eyes. The neck was so thick and massive that it was practically non-existent, blending the head with the shoulders and trunk, on which the dry skin stretched so thin that Rynison could see the solid bone of the chest wall. Two squat arms hung from the shoulders, terminating in four-digited hands on which two sets of blunt fingers were opposed. Horng kept moving them constantly, in what Rynison automatically interpreted as a nervous habit. The lower body was composed of